This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit pronamel.com.
Let's hit it. Give me a vacation.
Vacation.
Give me a wave.
Surfing.
Give me a city tour.
The trolley.
Give me animals.
The zoo.
Give me some sea life. Give me museums.
Balboa Park.
Give me a woo.
Roller coaster.
What's that spell?
San Diego.
If you're happy and you know it, San Diego is the place to show it. Book your family vacation at sandiego.org. Funded in part with the City of San Diego Tourism Marketing District Assessment Funds.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Hello and welcome to Savor, a production of iHeartRadio. I'm Annie Reese.
And I'm Lauren Vogelbaum. And today we have an episode for you about mofongo.
Yes. Any reason this one was on your mind?
I was thinking about plantains because I'm usually thinking about plantains. And I think my process was that I was looking into different dishes and I came across this really good Whetstone magazine article about tostones. Mm-hmm. And then it mentioned mofongo in there and I was like, oh no, I want that now. And so then I was like, let's just do an episode about mofongo.
So you've had it.
Yes, yes. Okay. Not in a good hot minute because I grew up in South Florida and went to college in Central Florida, and there are more Puerto Rican restaurants there than there are in general around Atlanta. I mean, we do have a few. We do have a few restaurants here that serve this dish. Certainly when I was Googling stuff, it was like, would you like to go to one of these restaurants? And I was like, well, yes, but like, that's not what I'm doing right now. But now I'm like, oh, geez. But you have not, have you?
I have never had it. I didn't know anything about it. It sounds amazing. It sounds exactly like my jam. That's...
I think it would be, yes.
Yes, yes. And as I was researching this, I was like, I have heard about this. It was like ringing in the back of my brain, this word. Where have I heard it? It was in SNL. There's an SNL skit Kenan did about a baseball player that I do not know. And I know plenty of you are going to write in and yell at me, but he's a famous baseball player and he would talk about mofongo. That's where I know it.
Okay.
And I feel embarrassed and ashamed to admit it.
No, that's it. We're all just out here learning every day. Hey.
Yes. Yes. Thank you for your support.
Yeah.
Oh, I've got to get my hands on some.
You
I'm
do.
Excited.
That is extremely true.
Mm-hmm. National Mofongo Day is September 24th. And I'm pretty sure that's as of 2021. So pretty recently
okay.
this day was named.
Yeah, sure.
Mm-hmm. You can see our episode on sweet potatoes for more.
Yeah, or bananas, or like arepas is like kind of adjacent.
Yeah.
I'm making a weird gesture that's kind of like over here, but like, yeah, it's not unconnected.
It's not unconnected, we can say that. But I guess this brings us to our question.
Yes, it does.
It does, I think. Mofongo. What is it?
Well, mofongo is a savory starch bomb of a dish made with green plantains that have been fried and mashed, seasoned with things like salt and garlic, and served in a standing ball, often stuffed or studded with some kind of protein like pork cracklings or shrimp. It's also often served with a sauce or a broth of some kind to kind of brighten and lighten the dish. Depending on what you add to it, this can be anything from like a side to more of a main, but it is soft and savory and stick to your ribs, often with bits of crunch from those pork rinds or from the fry on the plantains. It's like mashed potatoes, but the potatoes were deep fried instead of boiled. it's like you took just the densest cloud and you put garlic in it.
Oh, I want that. Oh my gosh. Lauren, why must you torment me so?
It's my whole job, Annie. I'm sorry. This is one of those dishes where if you grew up with it, like everyone around you had their own specific recipe and preferences. So I'm reporting this in broad strokes. As y'all know, we enjoy strong opinions. So if you have one, let us know. And if I get anything wrong, I am willing to accept a correction, as always. But okay, so the star of this dish is the plantains. And this is not the plantain episode.
No.
But they are a staple starch in places where they grow. And they're like a firmer banana that is very firm when it's unripe and will soften and sweeten, but it's still tart when it's ripe, like more tart than most of the bananas that you can, or certainly more tart than like the Cavendish banana, which is the one that we commonly eat. You can cook plantains when right, they are more soft and sweet and golden, or when they are still green and firm and kind of bland, but like running towards like there's a little bit of a flavor in there. I guess tart. It's tart adjacent, maybe. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that is what we are working with here. To soften them into mashability, you have to cook green plantains. A related dish called mengu does call for boiling, but in the case of mofongo, you are deep frying. Recipes often call for soaking the pieces of the plantains in salt water first, which I think is to preserve the color or something.
Okay.
I couldn't quite get to the bottom of it. But yeah, then you fry them gently without allowing them to fully brown. A mash might also require a bit of oil and or water and or broth in order to accomplish like a good texture. So those things might be added along with garlic and salt. The traditional tool for mashing is a pilon, which is a mortar and pestle, as we talked about in the arepas episode. But you can use a potato masher or like a food processor, whatever you want. Mix-ins like those pork rinds may be added at this stage. Once your mixture is anywhere from like smashed to smooth, it is ready to serve, and it'll be shaped into balls or maybe like turned out of ramekins or other similar small dishes. Sometimes these are given an extra like quick bake for cohesion, I think. Yeah. And so, yeah, this is your basic mofongo, but there are endless variations. You often get them stuffed. That's mofongo relleno. With various proteins or vegetables. You can serve them in or alongside a spicy or sweet or herbal sauces or with a chicken broth or a beef broth, which they will either kind of soak up, like, or you can dip bites of the mofongo into it. You can also mix in other starches at the frying stage. Like you can use the sweet ripened plantains or yuca or breadfruit. Two starches mixed together might be simply called mofongo mixto, or it might be called bifongo. If you've got three, it might be called trifongo. I love this.
That's pretty great.
And yeah, it is best served like fresh and hot. And because it is a little bit labor intensive to make, it can be hard to find. Though there has been research into developing like frozen manufactured versions, which I could not find anything further about. Like there was this paper from like the 1980s and I couldn't find anything about it after that. But maybe Google is doing me dirty because I'm not looking in Spanish. So, yeah.
Could be. Well, listeners, if you have any recipes, oh my goodness.
Oh, yeah.
Let us know. But I guess, what about the nutrition?
This is a calorie-dense dish with you know, a bunch of fats and starches, but does also have punch protein, lots of micronutrients. It will help fill you up to keep you going and, you know, eat a vegetable.
Mm. Yeah. Vegetables also good.
Oh yeah.
I had a salad last night and I was very happy about it.
Oh yay.
So we don't really have a lot of numbers for you. We have some things.
Yeah, we have like some thing. Sort of singular.
Well, yeah, starting with mofongo is the unofficial dish of Puerto Rico.
I think maybe pigeon peas and rice is the official dish. Oh gosh, I might be misquoting. Oh dear. But yes, it is more or less from there and is widely enjoyed. And yeah, I couldn't find any numbers on mofongo specifically, but I will say plantain consumption per capita in Puerto Rico has been estimated at over 50 pounds a year. That's 22 kilos. So, yeah, a true staple.
Wow. Yeah. And we've got quite a history to unfurl with this one.
We do, and we are going to get into that history after we get back from a quick break for a word from our sponsors. This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit Pronamel.com. Me.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
Today's episode is brought to you by Discover Puerto Rico.
We've talked in a bunch of different episodes about facets of Puerto Rican cuisine, like the dish mofongo, made of savory, deep-fried mashed plantains studded with some kind of tasty protein, and the creation of the cool, creamy piña colada. But there is so much more there. I've actually never been. You have a tiny bit of experience, don't you?
Yes. Unfortunately, it was a very tiny bit of experience. I was there for about a day. I'm kicking myself for that now. I remember having delicious rums, delicious drinks, but I want to go back because, yeah, so many episodes we do on here, when we're talking about food from Puerto Rico, I want that.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds amazing. We're trying to get a savor team trip
together. Oh, absolutely. Well, I mean, we're trying to get a trip to a lot of places, but this is really top of the list. Even putting together this ad read made me hungry. I was like, oh, I want to try those things. Yeah, as we've talked about before, there are influences there from African and Spanish and native Taino foodways. The culinary scene sounds amazing, and we want to go, and I'm hungry. No passport is required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. You can learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.
And we're back. Thank you, sponsor.
Yes, thank you.
Yes. And as we often say on this show, this one is shorter. It's a shorter history section. I think that's because, as you mentioned, Lauren, you know, Google perhaps only returning English results instead of Spanish results, what gets written down as well.
Mm-hmm.
And also, it's one of those ones that we could have, if we were a different podcast, we could have expanded it out way bigger.
Yeah.
We're not that podcast.
We're not. And I think that a lot of the things were, I mean, basically everything that we're going to touch on here is going to be its own episode eventually.
Yes.
And that's, you know, this is one of those things where I wish that we were still doing travel and interviews, mm-hmm. because this is one of those dishes that really exemplifies the way that this culture came together from multiple cultures.
Yes, absolutely. Okay, so yeah, tracing these dishes is always a bit messy. But generally, historians agree that mofongo has roots in Africa, specifically Angola, where folks would take a bunch of starchy foods, mash them up, and to soften them up, they would add in like liquid and or fat. And then further back than that, some say it derives from West African fufu, which is a dish of boiled and mashed yams. Uh-huh. In the 1500s, enslaved peoples from Angola and other parts of Africa were forcibly brought to Puerto Rico, where they continued mashing and pounding foods with available ingredients. Researchers suggest the name mofongo comes from the Angolan word for, quote, a great amount of anything at all, which I hope is true. I love that.
Yeah, yeah. That's very nice if it is true.
That's very nice if it is true. On top of that, archaeological evidence suggests that the indigenous people of Puerto Rico had a long history of mashing ingredients together. So maybe all of this came together, it coalesced. Mm-hmm. But to expound a bit, when the Spanish arrived in the 1500s to Puerto Rico, they subjugated the Taino, the indigenous people of Puerto Rico, forcing them to work in mines and on plantations. And this led to starvation and disease and many, many other terrible things. With the indigenous enslaved folks dying under these harsh conditions, the Spanish relied more and more on enslaved African peoples who brought over things like fufu with them. Many of the key ingredients for this dish did come over with enslaved African folks and colonizing forces, particularly the Spanish in this case. It is one of those dishes that showcases globalization, colonization, and the culinary contributions of enslaved and subjugated peoples. Garlic, an ingredient culinarily important to Spain, was introduced to Puerto Rico in the 1500s, plus onions and herbs mashed together and sofrito.
Sofrito sometimes shows up in recipes for mofongo, for sure.
Yes. Rice and the traditional pork arrived from Spain at the same time, though many proteins can and have been used in place of pork. South Asian plantains arrived in the Caribbean by this time, too, and the indigenous people farmed yuca, a sort of potato-y, starchy vegetable sometimes used as well. And then you have all the garnishes and toppings, some local and others not, just all of the stuff coming together.
Yeah, yeah. Of the starches that were brought to the area, wheat did not do well, but plantains and rice did very well. And so plantains became really a staple food for a lot of communities.
Yes. According to some sources, the first written recipe for mofongo appeared in a book in 1859. The recipe called for boiled green plantains, boiled hen and veal, all mashed up with garlic, bacon or lard, ham and spices. Sounds pretty good. Mm-hmm. The whole thing was molded into a ball and served with broth. The book featured several other similar recipes, some calling for yams or taro, and ingredients like tomato paste and onions, among other things. But there weren't too many recipes I could find in the timeline. More started popping up in the 1940s and 50s, especially for roasted plantain mofongo. Huh. And I imagine this is both a product of what was getting recorded and this dish being by nature a family recipe, mm-hmm. and often a difficult one, or based on what I read. But
yeah, well, I mean, I think that any time that you're deep frying and then doing the work of mashing, like that's mm-hmm. deep frying alone. I mean, y'all know my opinions on deep frying. If you've been listening to the show, I'm terrified of it. So like that's that step alone, I'm like, oh, no. But yeah, it is labor intensive, sure.
Mm-hmm. I did find this government document from 1980 that described mofongo as a, quote, Puerto Rican matzo ball. It seemed fond in the text, but I was kind of like,
I guess not entirely, no.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like dumpling related.
Yeah. Well, the document's up if you want to look it up. It has that kind of like vibe of like, and it tastes like a matzo ball. I don't know.
All right. Okay, cool. Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, fascinating. Mm-hmm. I will say, unfortunately, damage from hurricanes over the past 10 years has just about halved the production of plantains in Puerto Rico. You know, those hurricanes, especially Maria, I think in 2017, have really damaged, I mean, a lot of aspects of life there. Certainly the restaurant and tourist industry that a lot of people depend on. Right. But just getting your staple foods for your daily life has become a lot more difficult.
Yeah. Yeah. So again, listeners, if this is something you know more about because couldn't find too much in the history section about it, or if you have any recipes or experiences with it. I went through a very strong plantain period.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But
same.
It was like cowardice. I was afraid to cook with them. I didn't know what I was doing. So I feel like I need to give it another go because it was like a nerve-wracking experience.
Yeah. Yeah, I've honestly never thought to try cooking with raw plantains, despite the fact that maduros, fried sweet plantains, are one of my absolute favorite foods on the planet.
Yes.
Oh, man.
Yes. Oh, no. Oh, no. What have you done? Continuing the tormenting. Well, I think that's what we have to say about mofongo for now.
It is. We do have some listener mail for you, though, and we are going to get into that as soon as we get back from one more quick break for a word from our sponsors. This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit pronamel.com.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this.
I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter. That's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black. Directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R. Under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
Today's episode is brought to you by Discover Puerto Rico.
We've talked in a bunch of different episodes about facets of Puerto Rican cuisine, like the dish mofongo, made of savory, deep-fried mashed plantains studded with some kind of tasty protein, and the creation of the cool, creamy piña colada. But there is so much more there. I've actually never been. You have a tiny bit of experience, don't you?
Yes. Unfortunately, it was a very tiny bit of experience. I was there for about a day. I'm kicking myself for that now. I remember having delicious rums, delicious drinks, but I want to go back because, yeah, so many episodes we do on here when we're talking about food from Puerto Rico, I want that.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds amazing. We're trying to get a savor team trip
together. Oh, absolutely. Well, I mean, we're trying to get a trip to a lot of places, but this is really top of the list. Even putting together this ad read made me hungry. I was like, oh, oh, I want to try those things. Yeah, as we've talked about before, there are influences there from African and Spanish and native Taino food ways. The culinary scene sounds amazing, and we want to go, and I'm hungry. No passport is required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. You can learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.
And we're back. Thank you, sponsor.
Yes, thank you.
And we're back with listener mail. It was like condensing a flavor and an explosion of flavor.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Mm. The facial expressions on that one were pretty good. I have to say. You'll never see them, listeners, but rest assured.
Yep. Aces.
Yes. Heidi wrote, first, the background. Ever since my kids were little, they are now in college, we have had Thanksgiving at my in-laws' house and Christmas at my parents' house. Everyone lives in the same town and gets along well, so this has been great. My mom and my mother-in-law are / were great cooks, and they let me get away with just bringing the mashed potatoes. Yes, I live a charmed life. Huh. All this time I have thought, eventually these traditional dinners are going to be my responsibility and something is going to have to change. I am terrible at multitasking, as in mentally handicapped level of terrible, so the mere thought of getting all those dishes ready at the same time makes my stress level go through the roof. This last October, my in-laws died suddenly and unexpectedly, so the rest of us are figuring out how to navigate the holidays for the first time without them. Now, my mother-in-law was always a stickler about tradition. Things must be this way because they have always been this way. And my mom and I would rather shake things up. So we did traditional things, especially at her house, just to make my mother-in-law happy because we loved her, not because we cared about the traditions. So when contemplating what to have for Christmas dinner this year, my mom and I thought we didn't need to be bound by tradition anymore because the person who cared most about tradition isn't here. And we just had turkey for Thanksgiving, so we're not doing it again. We were thinking about casseroles and pad thai because that's where my brain goes and many miscellaneous things. My daughter protested that Christmas dinner must be special and most of our ideas weren't special enough. She wanted the giant piece of meat and the traditional side dishes. Here's the thing. She doesn't even like most of those things. For about 15 years, she has eaten mostly stuffing for these meals and complained that there was nothing else that she liked. She's the pickiest eater I've ever known, and I've known some picky eaters. So incredulous, I asked some questions to figure out what was truly important to her, and eventually we arrived at the solution of homemade fancy macaroni and cheese. We also have three other picky eaters and some involuntary dietary restrictions to deal with, so meals together are always a puzzle. My mom suggested using an Excel spreadsheet the other day. We are going to have macaroni and cheese with ham and green onions in it and Parmesan breadcrumbs on top. I hope this works as a new tradition because it seems doable and will make several people quite happy. Now we just have to figure out what my dad and I are going to eat because I'm lactose intolerant and he just really doesn't like cheese. But I think he might like pad thai. Anyway, that's my Christmas macaroni and cheese story. I hope you and yours have a wonderful Christmas or whatever else you may celebrate.
Aww.
Thank you. Oh, wow. Do I relate to a lot of this?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. These are always the conversations of like who, right? Like, because I do feel like it's like sort of like your situation, Annie, where like the people who are demanding these dishes are not the ones cooking them.
Right.
Yeah. And, you know, like, and like it's a lovely act of service to like do this for your family. But it's at a certain point, if you don't enjoy them, then like, what are you really doing there? Right.
Right. Exactly. And I do think that this whole idea of when tradition becomes like we're just doing it because of tradition, yeah. And you don't actually like the dishes.
Yeah.
I like all of the Thanksgiving dishes, but I'm not going to lie, if some fancy mac and cheese showed up,
it'd
be great.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Yeah, you know, right. Like I do. I mean, and that's the thing. Like, if I don't get a specific dish that I was kind of looking forward to on one of those, like, traditional
feast days, then I'll just make it myself and have too much of it and eat it for a week and be really happy. So
yes, I'm all for that. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh. And the like spreadsheet thing I have.
Oh, gosh.
I've got multiple spreadsheets, post-it notes. Oh, yeah. I hear you.
Oh, yeah. Christine wrote, I was listening to the Panettone episode on my way to the supermarket and was overcome by Panettone cravings. Given it's becoming a traditional Christmas food here in Australia, I decided to get one because surely there will still be some around. But no, there was not a Panettone to be seen. They've all been replaced by hot cross buns. I don't know how it is in the US, but hot cross buns are hugely popular here in Australia and come out on Boxing Day. I have absolutely no idea why no one has tried to sell them year-round. I'm consoling my Panettone lack with some excellent Normandy brie and medieval quince marmalade.
Mm.
Well, that sounds okay.
Yeah, that sounds pretty
good. That sounds basically pretty all right.
I have a lot of questions about this, actually. I have a lot of follow-up questions. A lot of you have written in about Panettone, so that's exciting.
Yes.
It really struck a nerve with a lot of you. Hot cross buns.
Okay. You still haven't had these, have you?
No.
Okay.
And, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, Lauren, but in the U.S., that's a very Easter.
That's a very Easter thing here.
Yes.
Yeah. Or, I mean, huh. I guess you can sometimes find them starting around, like Carnival season. Huh. But okay. But I more strongly associate them with Easter.
I mean, we need listeners. I know we call on you a lot, but I'm calling on you again because I need to know.
We need a bread breakdown here.
Yes. What I really love comparing traditional foods around the world and around just in our country. Like, I just seeing what people eat and associate with certain things.
Yeah. So what are your holiday breads? What are your important like tentpole breads throughout the year?
Tentpole breads, yes. That's what we need. That's what we need. We're counting on you.
I'll have to think about this for me, actually.
Yes.
Ooh.
Okay. We'll revisit this.
Okay. Pastries do also count. Do pastries count?
Yeah.
Okay.
So.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm allowing pastries. Yes.
Okay.
All right. Well, thank you to both of these listeners for writing. If you would like to write to us with our bread inquiries, which are very important, you can. Our email is hello@savorypod.com.
We are also on social media. You can find us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram @SavorPod. And we do hope to hear from you about bread. Savor is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, you can visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. Thanks, as always, to our super producers, Dylan Fagan and Andrew Howard. Thanks to you for listening, and we hope that lots more good things are coming your way. This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit pronamel.com.
Today's episode is brought to you by Discover Puerto Rico.
Puerto Rico is home to a thriving culinary scene based on products and traditions from the native Taíno, African, and Spanish peoples that have influenced it.
When you go, there are a host of restaurants, bars, breweries, distilleries, farms, and coffee houses to dig into, from five-star experiences to local favorites.
No passport required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. Learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cash back on purchases. And pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.